ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, as a reminder, with the previous episode, we finished the memoirs of Imam Khomeini's wife on this unmatched leader of the modern history. In the new part of this series, we are going to dwell upon the views of the world thinkers and scholars on Imam Khomeini and his historical revolution. Stay tuned, please. During the 1960s and 1970s, the tyrannical regime of the Iranian Shah was in its best condition from the viewpoints of power parameters, both internally and externally. Yet, those very years were the time of the start of popular protest, which very soon turned into a nationwide revolution led by Imam Khomeini. The flare-up of such a historical revolution was so incredible in Iran that the U.S. president in those years, Jimmy Carter, had called Iran the island of stability in the volatile West Asian region. Of course, the analysts who observed Iran's socio-political developments during and after the 1953 British-U.S. coup and toppling of Mohammad Mossadegh's legal government were apparently right on the Shah's absolute power. Although the political and economic corruption which had caused sort of concern for the Pahlavi regime's survival among the Western countries in 1950s, the power indexes of the regime in 1960s indicated its stability inside the country and abroad. In 1960s, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi started so-called reforms under the name of White Revolution, which was in fact a broad move to suffocate his political opponents. Thus, he expelled all political groups, whether left or right, from the scene and became the sole dominant authority all over the country. Moreover, during the early 1970s, the regime garnered exorbitant revenues thanks to the global rise in the oil prices and fortified the shaky economy. The ample petrodollars also helped the Shah to purchase modern military and spying equipment from the West to promote security and intelligence ability of the military and security forces. As a result, the notorious Savak security organization benefited from the experiences of the criminal Israeli espionage apparatus Mossad to suppress any opposing group or person in the country. Then the Shah got the role of the regional gendarme thanks to his good relations with the U.S. under Richard Nixon. In spite of the Pahlavi regime's heyday in early 1970s, the Iranian nation staged their unmatched revolution under the leadership of Imam Khomeini and through the royal tyranny in the dustbin of history for good. Many Western thinkers and observers were perplexed with the Iranian nation's movement as they couldn't understand their ideal and goal of the revolution. French thinker Michel Foucault was one of the thinkers who had traveled to Iran in the heat of the revolution. Foucault was the professor of Clermont University in France. He traveled to Iran to observe the Islamic revolution closely and understand its novel ideology and trend-setting features. These features were later on focused and studied by postmodernist thinkers such as Jacques Derrida, Edward Said, and Jean-François Lyotard. Many of these thinkers spoke of the Islamic Revolution as a phenomenon which couldn't be analyzed easily, as it matched no other movement in the past decades or even centuries. They maintained that the Islamic Revolution couldn't be explained with the conventional theories taught at universities and research centers. These analysts concluded that the Islamic Revolution was the crystallization of the fourth phase of power. In other words, it is kind of power which gushes forth from below rather than above. According to Derrida, it is manifested in the form of posters, placards, and slogans. Foucault believed that power is an element wielded from below, and it spreads in every social aspects and will show itself in due time. He maintained that the Iranian Shah had managed to omit all opposing forces, and the international powers were not considered as serious dangers for him, yet the popular power was organized and mobilized in a short time. Foucault was of the opinion that the people's prevalent power had been distributed in each and every element of society, and it had turned into a layer which shook the bases of the Shah regime and ultimately overthrew it. The French thinker believed that power shouldn't be pursued among intellectuals and political parties because they had little role, if any, in the mobilization of masses. Rather, it was the popular masses which drew in the intellectuals behind, and they were the pioneers. Another feature of the Islamic Revolution, which distinguishes it from other movements and draws the attention of the Western thinkers, is the variety of the strata supporting and participating in the revolution. The Islamic Revolution did not rely on a specific social class or stratum. Even the ulema, who played the role of the leaders of the people, didn't belong to a specific social or economic class. The French thinker Foucault had realized it well, that the Shia clergymen are not like those of Christianity, who play the role of bosses rather than spiritual leaders and fathers. The Islamic Revolution proved that the era of religion has not ended, and religion is a very important and a strong factor in every aspect of the modern world.